knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And this is his answer to that, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, somebody that is maturing. He said, I'm looking for somebody that I can teach doctrine to. I want to teach my word to them, but it's going to have to be somebody that's willing to grow and mature themselves in the word of God. Now watch what he says in verse number 10. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It gives an interesting analogy in these verses about how it is to study the Word of God. We've already considered the fact out of 2 Timothy 2:15 that studying the Word of God is labor. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. There's work involved in studying the Word of God. But not only is it laborious, and it does get labor intensive at times, studying the Word of God. Not only does it include labor, but it's little by little. You're not going to learn this Bible overnight. There's no cliff notes. There's no crash courses. There's no shortcuts. In the studying of God's Word, it's little by little, here little, there little. You'll get a little nugget here. You'll get a little nugget there. And God will grow you in the study of His Word in that respect. You're not going to just grow and bloom overnight. You're not going to just learn everything. Matter of fact, you will not learn or quit learning while we're here. We'll always be learning the Word of God while we're here. And I'm glad that this book is an eternal book. I'm glad it's fashioned that way. I'd hate to know that I had a book in front of me that I could learn in a week and didn't need to study it anymore. But this book is eternal. This book is alive, and there's more for us to learn every time we set up under it, every time we read it, every time we study it. There's more and more and more for us all to learn. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, just one more verse of Scripture. And then we'll pray and I'll let you be seated as we look at these thoughts tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Look what he says here. In verse number 16. Now, in writing, you understand when we read verses like we're about to read, that this verse applies to you. This is a personal verse written instructing you in how the Word of God should be a part of your life. He said in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, it's written like this. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look what he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so much so that we should so know the word of God that we all are able to teach others the word of God. I've got a little saying, and I'm going to say it again tonight. It's just a little thing that God gave me concerning the Scriptures. The Scriptures, listen to them to learn them to live them to lead others to the Lord. Want me to say it again? Listen to them to learn them to live them, and live them to lead others to the Lord. That's how the Word of God should be in all of our lives. I guess you could call these lessons, these meetings on these Sunday nights that we've been spending, discipleship courses. This is part of discipleship. Teaching the people of God the importance of the Word of God in all of our lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to look at these slides together and go through some things. Our Father tonight, Lord, we love you. And we thank you and praise you for loving us and being so good to us. I thank you for all that you've allowed us to do today, all that we've experienced. Lord, the good meeting this morning, the good singing, all that, Lord, we've been able just to encounter on this, the Lord's day. And we are thankful for it. Now, Lord, add your favor and your blessings to us all. And we're thankful for everything that you're going to accomplish tonight. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. And all of God's people said, you can be seated tonight. Bible study. What I'm trying to emphasize in these studies on Sunday night is trying to get you to develop a personal relationship with your Bible. Your Bible is like no other Bible. It's a Bible. It's a book that God gave you. And I want it to become so personal in your life that you just don't want to be anywhere without it. I used to be like this, and I'm not like this anymore, but when I'd leave the house, I wouldn't leave the house without picking up my Bible. Even if I was going into town, I'd take my Bible with me. I always wanted this Bible close to me. Now I've got it on other things, and I don't actually take my physical Bible with me. But we need to understand that the Bible, your Bible, is a personal gift that God has given you. I want us to consider our involvement with the Word of God. What is my purpose with the Word of God? And we just read where the Word of Christ should dwell in us richly to the point where we can teach others and we can instruct others. When we set up under the teaching of the Word of God, we should be so eager to learn it and so ready to review it after we've learned it that we're able to teach others the Word of God. What would it be? What would it be if every child of God so knew their Bible that they could take it out into the streets and teach others the Word of God? But you see, we, in our, especially our modern age, we've gotten lazy in this thing called Bible study. We've gotten laid back with it, and we just let others tend to it. But God expects all of us to be students of the Word of God. I don't believe any of us are going to get to heaven and the Lord call us forward and rebuke us because we studied too much. I don't believe it's going to go like that. As a matter of fact, I believe it's going to be quite the opposite. I don't believe that He's going to call us and say, listen, you read my book too much and you should not have been that involved in my book. What is our involvement with the Word of God? Well, I got a couple of scriptures right here. Psalm 68 verse 11 says this, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of people that published it. So it is a gift I'm wanting you to understand tonight that the Word of God, your Bible that you've got in your lap tonight, is a gift from Almighty God to you. It is personal. It's something that it should be accounted precious in all of our lives. Another verse of Scripture is John 17 verse 8 out of the New Testament. And this is what Jesus Christ said about His Word. He said, for I have given unto them, talking about us, for I have given unto them the words which thou, talking to His Father, gavest me. And they have received them and have fully known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Notice what Jesus Christ said. He said, Father, the words that you gave me are the words that I'm giving to your people. So the Bible is a gift. That book you've got in your lap is a personal gift to you from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, how we should cherish it and reverence it. I made mention in some of these studies that years ago that it used to be that people so reverenced the Bible that they honestly would not put anything on top of it. And I just made that mention, and Brother Jeff called me one day, and he said, Brother John, you said something. And he said, it was the way that I was raised. And he said, and I've gotten away from it. He said, we were raised not to ever put anything on top of the Bible. That's God's word, and you reverence that word. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to a reverential awe for this word that God has given us. We've got it on all electronics now, and we kind of lightly esteem it, but this book is a personal gift to us from God Himself. I believe that God Himself wrote this book. I believe that He wrote it and that He put it in my hands to equip me to live the Christian life as I should. So we need to consider tonight our involvement with the Word of God. You get to thinking about it and we think, well, we're supposed to study it. But I went through this and I was just asking God to speak to my heart and show me some things about our involvement with it. And I've come up with several things tonight. And this is how our lives should be involved with the Word of God. Number one, we should hear the Word of God, just like you're doing tonight. In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we get faith? We get it through the Bible. We get it through hearing the Word of God. I'm speaking some words tonight. Do any of you see words coming out of my mouth? No, you don't. You hear them, and you're hearing them by faith. You're believing, as these words are coming out of my mouth, you're believing that this is the Word of God that I'm quoting, that I'm reading to you, and you're receiving it as it is in truth, the written Word of God. That's faith. And so we get more and more faith every time we hear the Word of God. Not only should we hear it, but we also should read the Word of God. I'm talking about our involvement with that book you have in your lap. We should read the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, the Word of God says it like this. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed are they that read the Word of God. You should have a daily regimen of the Word of God for yourself. You should be willing, just as we would sit down at breakfast or lunch or at supper, we should be willing to sit down with the Word of God and feast on the Word of God and eat the Word of God. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it says, thy words were found, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Job said that he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. He said, God, I'd rather sit down with your book and read your book than I had to eat any kind of meal. So we need to not only hear it, we need to also read it. We need to study it, and that's what we've been talking about, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we should study it, and we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But then we need to memorize the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's been said that this book will either keep you from sin, or your sin will keep you from this book. This book, you hide it in your heart. You memorize it. We all need to try our best to take a verse of Scripture and memorize it. All of you know John 3:16. It's easy to memorize Scripture when you've got a heart to do that. You can sit down with it and say, Lord, I want to learn this verse. And you memorize that verse and hide it in your heart. I promise you this, somewhere in your Christian walk, that verse is going to come up to your mind. And it's going to guard your heart when you need it the most in your life. You may say, oh, there's nothing. Oh, you'd be surprised at how that memorizing the scripture and hiding it in your heart will help you overcome evil, to face temptation and to fight against it and resist it. The Word of God is powerful. It is powerful, and it will work in your life if you'll let it work. So we should memorize it, but we should meditate upon it. Meditation is a lost art in some preachers' lives today. Meditation, what it means to meditate, it means to read a portion of Scripture, say, and then throughout the day just think about that portion of Scripture. Just go over it and over and over it in your mind and in your heart and think about it. Meditate upon it. They tell me, I don't know this, but they tell me that the word meditate comes from the chewing of a cud, the way a cow chews a cud. A cow's got several stomachs, and it'll eat and then store some of that food in that stomach. Then sometime during the day, they'll bring it back up out of that stomach and eat what they had stored away. And that's what meditation on the Word of God does. He said it like this in Psalms 1 and verse 2. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, but but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditation, meditating on the Word of God, meditating on what it means to read a verse, memorize a verse, hide it in your heart, then just go over it and over it and over it in your heart. That's meditating the Word of God. But then, not only that, but we should obey it. It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to sit up under it. It's one thing to read it. But we must learn to obey the Word of God. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, it said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein to do all that mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We should learn to obey the Word of God, that we can observe to do according to all that's written in the Word of God. Then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus Christ said this. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. He said, here's the wise man. The wise man is the man that hear the Word of God and then make up in his heart, make up in his mind, I'm going to do what I just heard. I'm going to obey the Word of God and make it a part of my life, so much so that I'm actually living the Word of God. And that's, we should learn to obey the Word of God. We should not change it. Now, that's part of our involvement. When you get to the end of your Bible, do you know what it says in the book of Revelation chapter 22? It says these words. In verse 18 and 19, he said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I want to just tell you something. I don't know what it is today, but at one time I just researched, and I want to know how many different translations of God's Word is there today. Well, there's not but one. There's not but one that is the Word of God. Well, I don't remember. This has been some time back. There were There were several hundred translations of God's Word. That has done more damage to the body of Christ, to the church today, than anything else that Satan's ever devised against the body of Christ. I got interested in this, and so one time I researched this, and I said, well, Lord, how many versions of the Quran are there? Do you know how many versions of the Quran there are? One. You know why? There's no threat. If this Bible, if there's nothing to this Bible, why is it banned in some countries? Why are they against this book? The attack is on this book. And so we need to understand that we should not change this book. God said what He said, meant what He said when He said it, and we need to just stay with what God said. Can I get a witness right there? So we're not to change it. But then we are to witness it. I'm talking about our involvement with the Word of God. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What did He tell us to do? We should witness the Word of God to others. You know, we need revival. Our land needs revival. And we can say, well, those Democrats. We can say, well, those politicians, those Republicans. We can say all of that. But the Lord puts it on the church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. It's up to us. Do you know where revival will start at? It's not going to start in Washington. It's going to start inside the church house of Jesus Christ. Now, what would it be if every one of God's people decided, I'm going to get so involved with this book, I'm going to learn it to the point that I can teach others the Word of God. And I want that kind of heart to where I can take this book and show others the way of truth. That should be the desire of every child of God that's sitting in this room tonight. I'll go bigger than that. That should be the desire of every child of God across this planet. That should be our desires. It's not up just to the preacher. It's up to all of us to be so involved with this book that we can teach others and lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you tonight some study methods, some ways to study your Bible so that it will help you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, number one, let's study it topically. Study the Word of God topically, and by that I mean this. Take a topic from the Word of God, like Jesus Christ. He's what the Bible's all about anyway. Take the topic Jesus Christ and just go through it, and just every time you see His name mentioned, read that verse, study that verse, learn about things about Him, and the whole while you're going to be drawn closer to Him and conform more into His image, which is what this book is purposed in. That's what He's trying to do, is trying to draw us to get to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pick subjects like joy or peace or the word atonement or justification, redemption, sanctification, adoption. What about this? What about the word prayer? We all need a better prayer life. Can I get a witness? One of the ways we can get a better prayer life, I promise you this, is study prayer in the Word of God. Don't wait on the preacher to come and preach about it. Study the, just take a concordance or take a Bible program and look up the word pray and all the different alternatives of that word. Pray, praying, prayed, prayed, and all those different alternatives. And study that word throughout the Word of God. Look at every time that it's covered and what's going on, and just analyze it and look at it and be. Here's what you want to do when you study something topically. You want to be thorough with it. And by that I mean this. If you're studying a subject, let's take for example the subject of marriage. and you want to learn some things about marriage and divorce and remarriage and things like that from the Word of God, go through it and study it thoroughly. There's been a lot of messed up preaching, a lot of messed up Christians, because some preacher knew one or two verses about the subject of marriage, and he's put that on the people of God and held them in bondage, and they don't know the truth about the whole teaching of the subject of marriage. Go through it all. Look at the whole subject, not just one or two verses, but study that subject in its entirety. Be exact. Be exact with it. Make sure that what you're studying is doctrinally sound according to the Word of God, and analyze it. Look at it, read it, study it over and over and over and over. You can never study one given subject too many times. My wife tells me, she says, "John, I love it when you preach on the home." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because you treat me better." You know, that's the way that the Word of God will do you. You get to studying something, the next thing you know, you're going to be living those verses of what you're studying. And so you study something and analyze it. Let it become a part of your life. Then remember this, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. There's a lot of mistakes, like Adam's and Eve's, but there's no contradictions. It does not contradict. Well, we think that, well, this is saying this and that says this, and we think it's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's a revelation. It's something that God is needing to show you concerning. So we study topically. Not only do we study it topically, study characters in the Word of God. Study characters. Again, Jesus Christ, study His birth, study His character, His youth, His life, His ministry, His betrayal, death, burial, ascension, and all of that. Study things in particular about Jesus Christ. Study, for example, Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph. Study Elijah. I love studying the life of Elijah. I love studying Moses. And you'll find out when you study certain characters in the Word of God that there'll be certain characters when you study, you can almost be drawn into their life, and they'll almost parallel with some things going on in your own life. Study characters in the Word of God. Some in the New Testament, Peter, James, John, Paul, Timothy. Study characters. Every time their name's mentioned, look at those verses. What's going on in their life? What caused... Did you know that we talk a lot about John the Apostle? Did you know John the Apostle didn't have a good start in life? Matter of fact, he went into a town one time and they wouldn't receive Jesus Christ. He said, "Lord, you want me to call down fire out of heaven and nuke them all? You want me to just burn them up?" And the Lord had to rebuke John. John, the apostle of love. And you'll find out that these people in the Word of God that you're studying are real people, just like you are. Sometimes we get this mythology type thinking about characters of the Bible, and we think, well, they didn't have any problems. You're going to find out when you study characters in the Word of God that they were messed up people. You know what old Jeremiah said? Jeremiah, this is what he told God. He said, "God, are you going to be to me like a liar and waters that fail?" I mean, he called God a liar. He said, "You're just like a bunch of waters that when I go to them to get them, they're not there. You have failed me in life." And I mean, he put it on the Lord. The Lord didn't get upset. If I'd been God, I'd have nuked him right there. I'd gone ahead and sent him to hell. He ain't going to talk to me like that. But God ain't like that. Thank God he ain't. And you're going to find out when you study characters in the Word of God, you're going to find out a lot about yourself when you get to studying characters in the Word of God. Some other examples is studying God's opponents like Satan or Pharaoh. It's good to study his opponents. You learn the tactics of the enemy. When you get to studying character, make notes. Get you a notebook. I had to build some shelves at the house for Miss Debbie. Made her a bookcase and a wall, and I did that because she's got so many notebooks that she's taken notes down through the years. I think every one of my outlines, she's got them written down in books where she'll sit there while I'm preaching and take notes down. And take notes on what you're studying. You'd be surprised when you write it down, it does something about locking it in right here. It gets locked in when you write it down. It does for me anyway. Highlight words in the scripture. I mean, actually get you a highlighter and underline them or highlight them. Something that stands out to you. Just make a note. I remember when I first started studying the Word of God, I wish I'd brought my original study Bible tonight. I didn't even think about it. I would make a mark. I would mark it right here. And I would underline it. Maybe it'd be an underline of red. I'd have a red pen and I'd underline it. Well, then later on, I'd go on and I'd read the Word of God further, you know, and all like that. Then I'd get to thinking something had come up about that verse that I had underlined, and I would remember this. I remember underlining that, and that was on the bottom right-hand side, and it was in red. And I'd go through there, and oh, there it is, there it is. And I would remember where and how I had marked it. So get in a habit of marking your Bible when you're studying the Word of God. Highlight the words. And then you'll find out you'll learn a lot about yourself when you study characters of the Word of God. But not only that, study books of the Bible. Take a book of the Bible. There's 66 to choose from. One that means something to you. Start out with maybe one that's just, there's several in the Word of God that's only one chapter long. And say, well, I'm going to study this book. For example, the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation, only one chapter, 25 verses. Go through that, sit down with it, and just, at first, just sit down and read it. Reread it. Read it again. And then go through it. Try to see if you can discover a main theme that that book is talking about. See if you can, as you're looking through it, and see if there's any words that keep showing up over and over and appear more than any other words. And maybe that'll be a theme or something. Could discover main words. Mark your Bible. And what does each chapter convey as you're studying that chapter? On Wednesday nights, we study books of the Bible here in Bible study. And what we do is we go through a book of the Bible chapter by chapter. And we'll usually I'll tell them at the beginning of a chapter, now this chapter, the theme of this chapter, and I'll give them a title for the chapter and what that chapter in general is all about. And then we'll go through it verse by verse and come through an outline. And learn to study books of the Bible. Some of the rules are consider the theme, discover the main words, mark your Bible. What does each chapter convey? And then as you're studying through that book of the Bible, if there's a certain verse, like for example, Brother Stacy gave us a devotion this morning from the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is one of the most loaded books with verses to memorize. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. Memorize. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Memorize those verses. If you're studying a book of the Bible and there's certain verses that you read as you're studying it, highlight that, write it down, and then memorize that verse out of that book of the Bible. So study books of the Bible. But then learn verses to witness to others. Here's the main bottom line of studying the Word of God. What good is it for you to study it and gain all the wisdom that you gain from it and you keep it right here? You just hold it in right here and don't tell anybody else what you've learned. What good, what kind of world would we be living in if nobody ever shared the Word of God with somebody else? So learn, when you learn the Word of God, learn it to the point where you can share it with others. You can witness it to others. I don't want to get into this section of it tonight. To be honest with you, I'm wore out, I'm tired, and we got a lot to go when we get right there. We'll pick up on that next Sunday night. But I want to close with this illustration. I've been saved and for a little while, and not long after I got saved, I just developed this hunger to study the Word of God. And I was working at the railroad and had plenty of time. I had what I call the pie job. That's one of them jobs where you didn't do much. I mean, I'm serious. Out of an 8-hour day, I might work an hour. That was the job I had, and they paid me to do that. And the rest of the time, those 7 hours that I was just sitting, they wanted me sitting in the break room at a table where if they did need me, they would know where to come and get me from. And so for 7 hours, I sat in the break room studying the Word of God. The railroad paid me to study the Word of God. I mean, what better? I mean, God was taking care of me. He was blessing me. I mean, I loved going to work. Didn't have any squalling youngins. Didn't have any deals to have to deal with. I could go to work, sit down there, and wouldn't be bothered for 7 hours. I sat there and marked my Bible, studied my Bible, read my Bible, go through it, comparing Scripture with Scripture, flipping here, flipping there. And I was sitting there one day, and this gentleman walked up. Matter of fact, he was one of the gentlemen that was instrumental in leaving little tracts around the break house. And I'd pick them up and read them. He was instrumental in me getting saved. And he came up to me and he sat right in front of me and had a cigarette in his mouth. He was blowing smoke, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, get that smoke out of my face. That was just my attitude. And he asked me a question. It was a question about marriage and divorce. And I knew the answer. I'd been studying it. I'd been reading it. And this is what I told him. I said, you got a Bible. You read it. You go learn it. I mean, I was just cocky, just saved. I was arrogant. I was wrong-spirited. I'd sinned in doing it. I was wrong. And I sat there and the Holy Ghost smote me. He said, if that's what you're going to do with it, I'm going to quit teaching you. I'm not teaching you this just for you to learn it. I'm teaching you to teach others. God broke me that day. I said, Lord, I won't never have that attitude again. I said, somebody comes to me, Lord, I'll sit down with them and I'll show them from the Word of God what it says. And I've made that promise to the Lord, and so help me, I want to keep that promise. What good is it to learn all that we learn, to gather up all that we gather, if we're just going to keep it right here? God gives it to us to teach others the Word of God. And what would happen to Murrayville Baptist Church is if all of us in this room decided, Lord, I want to learn it to the point where I can start teaching others. What would it be? I'll tell you what let's do. Sis, come to the piano. Real quick. We won't sing nothing tonight. But I believe that the Lord is done with what we are. He wanted us to study. Isn't that a good, pretty picture? I can't make it go away. Anyway, what would it be? What would it be if all of us decided, Lord, I want to start studying your book? As we stand tonight, she's just going to play something softly. Could we find ourselves across these altars tonight and just say, Lord, help me to be a student. Help me to be involved with your book to the point, Lord, where I learn it and teach others, where I can show others the way of truth and lead them in the things of the Lord. Let's make up our minds. I'm going to be a student of the Word of God. I want to teach others, Lord, what your book says. I want others to learn. So, Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to be a student of the Word of God. I'm tired.